let's get into our sermon today. I'm going to start by making a statement as we continue to walk this narrow road and look at aspects of the narrow road, these signposts, so to speak, that should be evident as we pursue after Jesus. And this is the statement. Walking the narrow road, right? Us choosing to walk the narrow road is the greatest and most significant adventure that anyone will ever experience in this life. Right? Walking the narrow road, pursuing Jesus, following Jesus, is the greatest and most significant adventure that anyone will ever experience. Now, I start with that because I want us to take a moment and we think about our faith. How often, and again, I hope this is true for us, but how often do we awake every morning excited about the adventure we're on to follow Jesus? Do we wake up excited on and about this adventure in following Jesus? And I ask that question out of conviction, because there's many times I don't wake up with a lot of excitement about the adventure. But it's the greatest and most significant adventure that any of us will ever experience. So let's kind of think about this as we process and get into what this adventure looks like and what it should be in our lives. When we think about the narrow road, as we talked about over the last couple of weeks, we enter the narrow road by first entering through the narrow gate. This is the teachings of Jesus. Be sure to enter through the narrow gate, which leads then to the narrow road. The narrow gate being our salvation. And Scripture is clear to us that our salvation is by faith. It is not by works. We are saved by our faith in the grace of God. This is told to us throughout the New Testament, and this is the basis of salvation. The narrow gate is by faith. But then once we are on the narrow road, we are following Jesus, we are living out this new life that is ours through Christ, through our salvation. The Bible then tells us that we are to live by faith. Not only do we enter the gate by faith, but we travel the road by faith. Scripture tells us that the righteous will live by faith. This is the reality of walking the narrow road. So then the question is, what is faith? And this is what's amazing about Scripture. It defines it for us. And many of us are probably aware and know this passage of Scripture, but Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 tells us, now this is what faith is. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now, I like what is said next because it's setting up the rest of the chapter. It says, this is what the ancients were commended for. And then when we look at chapter 11 of Hebrews, we see this statement of what faith is, and then we see this entire narrative telling us about those that maybe we would classify the heroes of the faith. Right? The people that we look at from Scripture and we celebrate them for the amazing things that God did in their life. So not only is God defining for us what faith is, faith being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, he also then gives us an entire chapter of examples of what faith looks like. We hear about people like Noah and Abraham and Jacob, and Moses, and Joshua, and Gideon, and Samson, and David, and then even mentioning of the prophets. This is what that chapter lays out. Now, if we get honest with ourselves for a moment, we look at that chapter, we call that the heroes of the faith, but one of the reasons they're considered heroes is because they are men and women who lived a life of adventure. Man, God did extraordinary things in their lives because these were people that lived lives of adventure. So let's define for a moment, what is adventure? There's many different ways that people might look at it, but this is the basic understanding of at least the way I would see adventure. Adventure is defined simply as this, as an unusual and exciting and typically even hazardous experience or activity. Right? It's an activity or an experience that's unusual, it's exciting, and in fact, it sometimes hazardous. So here's where I want us to start this morning as we think about journeying and following after Jesus and thinking about our own lives. If we are a follower of Jesus, we are invited into the life of faith, which is a life of adventure, and our lives should be defined as unusual, exciting, and even hazardous for our faith. It was interesting, and we'll get into this a little more in defining what that looks like, but it was interesting as I was preparing for this sermon, I spent some time Googling and I just typed in like people that had weird adventures. And I can't remember the guy's name, but I'm going to share it because it popped into my head and I just thought it was funny because I know people like this that would do this. There was some, I can't remember his name, I don't remember where it was at. All I remember is he had the bright idea where he ordered a bunch of balloons, and he had this bright idea that he wanted to see his neighborhood, so he was going to hook up a bunch of balloons to his lawn chair, and he was going to float up about 100 feet, and he thought that was going to be cool. He had his beer, you know, he had his lawn chair, he had all this stuff, and then what he was going to do is slowly let the air out, and he was going to come down, it was all going to be great. Obviously, he wasn't good at math, because instead of going 100 feet, he went about 11,000 feet. Into the air. And because of this, and because of where he lived, it shut down the airport for a while because he was actually in plane lanes and he couldn't get down, right? So this guy sat up there for a few hours. Picture this. Picture being a person sitting in a lawn chair, 11,000 feet in the air. I mean, come on, that's adventure. That's unusual. Kind of exciting. A little bit hazardous, right? Finally, he came down, and it was all good, and he's safe and all that stuff. I'm sure he got some hefty fines. But these are some of the things when you think about adventure. And when we think about adventure being unusual and exciting and hazardous, that's going to fall different on different people in the room. Because right now, there's good possibility that there's at least one person in this room that went, I do that. Right? Because some people love adventure. Like right now, if I were to say it, and I would say, anybody want to go jump out of a plane? Some of you would be like, yeah. Let's go jump out of a plane. Some of the rest of us would say, you're not even going to get me on a plane. Right? We all have different levels of adventure. Okay? Some of us love to try new things, to love excitement, to love what can we experience in the fullness of life. Other of us look at those type of people as crazy. Okay? And that's all right. But when we talk about the life of faith, when we talk about being a follower of Jesus, there are some elements to this life and this adventure that we all have to accept and live out. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning is what are some of the elements of adventure as a follower of Jesus, the unusual, the exciting, and even hazardous that all Christians are called to live in, to enter into, to experience, to actually pursue. We are invited and called to be people of adventure. And I hope when we're done here and we prepare to leave, we're excited to go live out this adventure. Because the life on the narrow road is the adventure of faith. And as followers of Jesus, again, I want to reiterate, as followers of Jesus, if you are here as a follower of Jesus, your life is meant to be unusual, exciting, and even hazardous. But we have to acknowledge something. We're called to live out this life, but there are a lot of forces around us, either outside of us or inside of us, that are committed to weakening or even removing our commitment to being people of adventure when it comes to our faith. Many of us don't even, like I said, view our relationship with Jesus as an actual adventure. Scripture tells us things like this. Don't lose your spiritual fervor. Right? Don't lose your zeal. Don't lose your excitement to what is possible. Don't lose your excitement to experience all that God has for us. We are called to be people of zeal and excitement for what God can do. That's what we're called to. Scripture even tells us that we are supposed to do everything we can not to quench the fire of the Spirit of God in us. And part of that, I believe, is that excitement and that desire to live out the adventure that God calls us to as Christians. If you want an example of this, you can look at the entirety of the Bible, and all throughout the Bible we see examples of this. But just for a moment, consider the book of Acts. Man, the birth of the church. And how God was using people. And believers were entering into amazing examples and experiences of adventure as they followed and served Jesus. As they allowed the fire of the Spirit of God to just blaze inside of them. Look at what God did with them and through them. Now, sometimes I wonder, and I don't know how God really wants to work in our world today, because I'm not God. But sometimes I wonder, do we miss out on experiencing the amazing things that God wants to do because we're so busy trying to avoid any type of adventure when it comes to our faith? Instead, it seems like us as Christians are always being pushed towards a life that is tame. A life that is safe. A life that is comfortable. It was funny, I was talking to someone about this sermon when I told them, and this was weeks ago when I said we were going to be preaching about adventure sometime during this series, and they got excited because they said, I can't wait to hear what kind of weird things you're going to bring out about different, you know, because there's like, you're going to talk about Star Wars, you're going to talk about Marvel, you're going to talk about superheroes, you're going to talk about this and that and all that other stuff, you know, because there's just a lot of adventure there. But I'm not going to talk about any of that. I'm going to talk about Bilbo Baggins. Any of you that don't know who Bilbo is, you're missing out. But Bilbo Baggins is the main character of the book The Hobbit, right? And which then leads into the books of The Lord of the Rings, if you don't know what all of that is. And the book of The Hobbit is interesting because you have Bilbo, who is this character that has this inner desire for adventure. There's a part of him that wants adventure, but he's afraid of it. So when adventure comes knocking at his door, he does everything he can to avoid the adventure. Because he's been taught that to be a good person, to be a good hobbit, he has to be tame, and he has to be comfortable, and he has to be safe. And here he is, and it's right at his door to walk into the greatest adventure he could ever experience, but it goes against everything he's ever been taught. And I'm telling you this morning, I believe that many Christians, we have been taught that to be a good Christian, you have to seek safety, comfort, and a life of being tame. Don't rock the boat. Don't get overexcited. Don't put yourself out there. But the narrow road is the life that we have been positioned into as followers of Jesus. And I'm telling you right now, the narrow road, if you're going to walk it, it is a road that is unusual, it is exciting, and there are times it's even going to be hazardous. And as Christians, we need to get back to the place where we say, yes, I want that. Consider Jesus' invitation. Jesus says, follow me. This is his invitation to the early disciples. The term follow me, just to say that, when Jesus says that to them, that is the invitation into the greatest adventure. Because think about how these men's lives got turned upside down by two words, follow me. And the same invitation is being offered to us, follow me. I want to give you one of the best example or best stories when it comes to this, or parts of Jesus saying, follow me. And that's the calling of Nathanael. You can write it down if you want to look at it later, but I'll give you the overview of it. But this is where it's found. In John, we are told that when Jesus is calling the early disciples, and he's asking them to come, there's this interaction where Jesus talks to Philip. And Philip gets all excited about meeting Jesus, and he runs to go find Nathanael. And he finds Nathanael sitting under a fig tree. This is what's portrayed to us in John. And Philip goes to him and he says, listen, we found this guy and he's got to be the Messiah. He's the Christ. You got to come meet him. You got to come see him. We don't know, but there's just something about him. You got to come see this guy. And Nathanael asks the question, you know, kind of like, well, where's he from? And he's like, he's from Nazareth. And Nathanael makes this statement like, well, can anything good come from Nazareth? So he's a skeptic. He doesn't really believe what they're saying, but he's like, all right, I'll go. And so we see in this interaction that Nathanael is walking up to Jesus, and Jesus calls him out by name. And he says, you know, basically makes this statement that makes Nathanael be like, how do you know me? And Jesus says to him, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. Like, I saw you before you were even invited to come see me. And this makes Nathanael make this statement. He says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. He proclaims faith in Jesus based on Jesus saying, I saw you under the fig tree. And this is the part that I love. So if you go look this up later, if you're looking it up now, this is the part that I love about this interaction. It says, Jesus looks at him and says, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that. Let me put that into my words. This is my words when I read that. That's Jesus looking at Nathanael and saying, boy, you ain't seen nothing yet. Does that not sound like an adventure? Boy, you ain't seen nothing yet. And I share that with us this morning because I want to put that before us. Do you realize that God is looking at every single one of us, no matter how long we've been a Christian, and he's saying to us right now, you ain't seen nothing yet. If you surrender to the adventure, if you join me on the adventure, you ain't seen nothing yet. And this is what I want us to think about, and I want us to connect with this excitement of spirit where we wake up every day. And don't get me wrong, this doesn't mean life isn't going to be hard and there's going to be struggles, but we wake up saying to ourselves, Lord, I am on this adventure with you, and this day is a new day, and Lord, I haven't seen nothing yet. What are you going to show me today? What am I going to experience today? What is the unusual, the exciting, or even, Lord, what is the hazardous thing that you are going to show me today? Whether you don't like reading the book, but you just rather watch the movie, you can watch the movie The Hobbit. One of my favorite points of this is with Bilbo is like, I don't want nothing. The adventure. I want to reject the adventure. And then he wakes up the next day and everybody's gone. All the people that are going on the adventure are gone. And he sits there and it starts dawning on him. He's like, wait a minute, I'm missing out. And finally it connects on him. And I love this scene in the movie where he's running through the Shire and all the other neighbors are like, what are you doing? You're not being your normal self. You're running through the Shire. What are you doing? And he's like screaming at the top of his lungs, I'm going on an adventure. Is that your attitude towards your faith today? I'm going on an adventure because I'm following Jesus Christ. And this is what he has called me to. I'm going on an adventure. As we process just for a few moments, I'm going to talk about just a few areas of adventure that every one of us as Christians are invited to. Every single day when we walk the narrow road. Again, what Jesus calls us to is going to be different for each one of us, but this is the three things that he calls every single one of us to. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you are on the narrow road, these are the three things that he calls every single one of us to, the adventures that we are offered. The first is this, it's the adventure of knowing Jesus. Every single person here that puts their faith in Jesus, you are offered the invitation, and we are called to accept it, and that is the invitation of the adventure of knowing Jesus. This morning, I want you to think about this just for a moment. We need to change the way we view eternal life. Unfortunately, many people, when you hear the term eternal life, we instantly think about heaven. Like, someday I'm going to be there. I'm going to have eternal life. Someday I'm going to reach the place of eternal life. This morning, I want us to understand that eternal life is not a destination. Because Jesus tells us very clearly, this is eternal life. That you may know the one and only true God. And that you may know Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I want you to see these passages through the lens of adventure. This morning, do you not realize that you are given every moment of every day the invitation to know God? To truly know Him, not to know about Him, not to spew facts, not just to have this concept, but you are invited to actually know God. This is the relationship that we are invited into. Can you not tell me that that's not an adventure? Should we not be excited that I get to know God? Before Jesus said these words in John chapter 14, he's preparing his disciples, and he says this to them in John 14. He says, if anyone loves me and obeys my teaching, that goes back to last week, right? Surrender to that authority of Jesus. If anyone loves me and obeys my teaching, listen to what he says. My Father will love them. Okay, that's cool. But he goes on. And we, being the Father and the Son, the totality of the Godhead, all of them, we will come to you and we will make our home with you. Doesn't that sound like an adventure? That God is saying that when you follow me, that we will make our home with you. Do you know, you really get to know somebody when you live with them, right? You really get to know somebody when you live with them. I mean, there are times that I guarantee Amy would have rethought marriage if she would have known some things. You really get to know somebody when you live with them. And that is what Jesus is saying. You are on the adventure of knowing me. Intimately. Paul says this. Paul, when talking about his life, and he's listing all the things that he has. He's listing all the accomplishments of his life. He's listing all the awards that he would have gotten as a Pharisee. He was listing all the, you know, people respected me and people looked up to me and I had anything I wanted and I had everything that life could have offered. And he said, now I consider it rubbish, trash. For simply this, he takes everything the world has to offer, and he says, I consider it all garbage compared to this one thing, and that is I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Does that not sound like an adventure? That you and I, as followers of Jesus, are able to know the power of the resurrection. That doesn't sound tame. That doesn't sound safe. But that sounds exciting. And that sounds unusual. And even a little dangerous. Because throughout Scripture we are told this, that God is a consuming fire. In fact, all throughout the Old Testament, we are basically told, keep your distance. If you go back to Exodus, there's this moment in Exodus where the people are around the mountain of God and God's presence descends upon the mountain and there's flashes of lightning and the mountain is on fire because God is a consuming fire and he's there before the people, before Israel. And he tells them, stay away. Don't even put a foot on this mountain or you're going to die. That's the glory of God. Keep your distance. You can't even come and put a foot upon the mountain or you will die. Stay back is the message of God's holiness in the Old Testament. But because of Jesus, because of his death on the cross and his resurrection, because of his inviting us through the narrow gate and onto the narrow road, now the message is God is still the same. He is still that consuming fire. But now the invitation is, come near and know me. Does that not sound like an adventure? You are invited into the adventure of knowing Jesus, the consuming fire. Come near and know me. This is your daily invitation when you're on the narrow road. So how do we come to know Jesus? How do we pursue knowing Jesus? It's simple. We don't need to make it harder than it needs to be. We pursue knowing Jesus through his word, through prayer, through worship, through one another. You can pursue to know Jesus through creation. I'm going to give you an activity that I did this week that was, it was unusual. But I had this thought. I was sitting there one day, and I was looking at an apple. Yeah, kind of weird. I was looking at an apple. And I'm like, God, you created that apple. And this is what went through my mind. What does that apple tell me about you? And I sat there for like 20 minutes thinking about that. What is this one piece of creation tell me about God? It sounds weird, but it was an amazing moment. Because I was thinking about things like, God, this shows your creativity. Oh, Lord, this shows your goodness. Because when you bite into an apple, the sweetness of an apple, the taste of an apple, you created that. Lord, this talks about your goodness because you created that for me to enjoy that. Lord, this talks about your beauty because look at this bright, crisp, red apple. You created color. You created all colors of the universe that I can look upon and I can see beauty in that. Lord, that tells me that you are creative, that you are good. Lord, it tells me that you are faithful because you provided this for me, that I can enjoy it, but it can also feed me physically. But yet at the same time, Lord, you're not just worried about me physically. You also worry about me emotionally and mentally. Lord, it just makes me, you are worthy of worship because of an apple. Creation lets us know God. Every day we are offered opportunities to know God. So I want to, before we move on to the next one, I want to just leave you with this one. When it comes to knowing Jesus, every day that God allows you to open your eyes, every day that you wake up and your eyes are open, let us start seeing it for what it is. And it's an invitation into the adventure of knowing him. And every day he gives you is another day on the adventure of knowing him. Man, that might change some of the ways we look at our days. Lord, I can know you intimately. The consuming fire. The God that says, come near. But then that leads to our next. We are invited into the adventure of repentance. This one might sound a little weird, but let me explain. As we get to know Jesus, the natural response of knowing Jesus is actually repentance. Jesus began his ministry by saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And I want us to understand this morning that living the life of repentance is not a one-time thing. Sometimes we treat repentance as this, well, I've sinned, I've done wrong, I need to get right with God, I need to come and repent. Yes, many times that is repentance. But repentance is not a one-time thing, and repentance is not just something we do when we screw up. Because to understand the meaning of repentance, just think about it this way. To repent, or repentance, is to change, a simple understanding, it is to change your entire way of thinking, of feeling, of acting, to be conformed into the life of Jesus. Ultimately, that is what repentance is. It's to change, to become more like Jesus. To be transformed, to be more like Jesus. That is what repentance is. So repentance is not a one-time thing that we do when we accept Jesus, but repentance is a daily thing that we do. As I daily grow in my understanding of Jesus and my knowledge of Jesus, and I come to know him more intimately, the natural response is to change myself to be more like him. And I don't know if you realize it, but that's an amazing adventure. Again, I want you to look at these scriptures through the lens of adventure. Unusual, exciting, sometimes hazardous. But scripture tells us, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he says, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, so whenever anyone enters the gate, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Man, listen to that. Shouldn't we get excited about that? Man, there's freedom wherever God is. And we, who with unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory. Now, here's the cool part. This is the repentance part. This is the changing part. This is the transformation. Are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit. Do you not hear what Paul is saying? He's like, you've been invited into the adventure of being transformed in the image of Jesus with ever-increasing glory. That's what happens when you walk the narrow road. We become more like Jesus. We are transformed to be more like Jesus. We start thinking the way Jesus thinks. We start feeling the way Jesus feels. We start having the desires that Jesus has. We become more like Christ. In fact, in Colossians, Paul says this. He says that when we take off our old self and we enter through the gate and we put on our new self, we are being renewed in knowledge in the image of our Creator. I want you to stop and just think for a second. This is how amazing our life is, that when we follow Jesus, what he is doing in our lives is he is renewing us through repentance into the image of himself. Man, that does not make life boring or mundane or tame. That makes life an adventure. One of my favorite verses that comes to this is in 1 Thessalonians. Because I want you to see this is all throughout Scripture. View this through adventure. Paul says, may God himself, the God of peace, remember, the God who comes and makes his home with us, the God who we are invited to know, that is who he's talking about. May God himself, the consuming fire, the God of peace, may he sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Do you not hear the adventure? See, we read these words and we don't see them for what they are, and it's the invitation to the greatest adventure of your life. You can not only know Jesus, you can be transformed into the image of Jesus, where he lives his life through you. That is what he's offering to us on the narrow road. Man, isn't it unfortunate when we miss the excitement of this? And I love the promise of Scripture. The one who began this good work in you, the one who put you on the road in the first place, the one that has you on this journey and calls you a child of God, the one who began the good work, he will bring it to completion. You know what he's saying there? You're going to have victory in your adventure. You know, that's what I love about when you read stories of adventure, or you read about people that entered into a life of adventure, and they enter into it not knowing what's going to happen, but we already know what's going to happen. We know the end story. We know how it all ends. He's told us. Read Revelation. We are told the victory that is ours and where we are heading. We are told where the narrow road leads. The one who began the good work will complete it. Now here's the last one. We're invited into the adventure of kingdom advancement. Again, remember, these are all three things. No matter what your attitude is towards adventure in this life, these are three things that we as every Christian is called to. Now, let me set the basis with this, because when Jesus was getting ready to send out his disciples, when he was getting ready to send them out to go preach the gospel and declare the coming of the Messiah, this is what he told them. Imagine if you were getting these. This is your instructions. This is what he's saying. He's like, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. I don't know about you, but that sounds a little exciting, unusual, and a little hazardous. Right? That's the first line. Send you out like sheep among wolves. But he says, therefore, be shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. He goes on and tells them to be guarded. Be on your guard, because you're going to be handed over to local authorities. You're going to be flogged. On my account, you're going to be brought before governors and kings, and you're going to witness to them. You're going to be brought before the Gentiles, and you're going to witness to them. But when they arrest you, do not worry about it. Don't worry about what you're going to say or how you're going to say it. Because at that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Does that not sound like adventure? Jesus is saying, I'm going to put you in places that the only hope that you have is that when your mouth opens, it's not you speaking, it's God speaking through you. Doesn't that sound cool? Do you know one of the reasons that many of us, including myself at times in life, never experience the moment of having God speak through us is because we've never got on board with the adventure to get put in the place where he needs to. But man, he's saying, I want to speak through you. Here's a statement I came across, and this is what we're gonna end through this, and then I hope this will get you excited. But this is the statement I came across this week, and it just reverberates through my heart and through my head, through my spirit. And it's simply this: Jesus did not die to keep us safe, comfortable, or tame. Jesus died to make us dangerous. Christian, if you're on the narrow road, you're a follower of Jesus, he did not die to give you a comfortable life. He died to make you dangerous. He did not die to keep you safe. He died to make you dangerous. So what are we to enter into? Who should see us as dangerous? Well, it comes down to these three things. First off, you are called to be dangerous by being a witness. Jesus said very clearly before he left this world, he said in Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses throughout the world. Christian, there's not a one of us that can sit back and say that's somebody else's responsibility. No, he called you to the narrow road to be dangerous, and one of the ways that you are dangerous is to be a witness. Because Jesus says clearly, you are the light of the world. And I did not make you the light of the world. I did not pour my glory into you. I did not pour my holiness and righteousness into you. I did not make you who you are. He says this in Scripture to hide you. No, I made you the light of the world to put you in the darkest places. To be the witness of me. And think about the adventure that this is. Don't look at yourself. Don't be like, oh, yes, my light. No, you're taking his light. And here's the beauty of light. Wherever light enters, darkness flees. Doesn't that not sound like an adventure? To know that your very presence, when you're filled with the glory of God, makes darkness flee. When you choose to be a witness. So how does this look? I want you to think about the places that God has placed you. If you are not shining in your jobs, in your families, in your neighborhoods, that's why he put you there. To be a witness. To be dangerous. Because you're dangerous to the next one. Because we are dangerous by demolishing strongholds of the enemy. You know, Scripture talks about strongholds. And many times we talk about those strongholds like it's about us, the strongholds in my life. Yes, I have strongholds. You have strongholds that God is dealing with. That happens through the adventure of repentance. That is where he's dealing with the strongholds in my life. But do you realize that God wants to use you as a witness out in the world to help other people break the strongholds in their life? See, the enemy thinks you're dangerous when you start coming and taking back his territory. And listen, the The enemy has territory all over the place. He has it in marriages. He has it in children. He has it as students at the school. He has it in the school. He has it in the business community. He has it all through the enemy has strongholds all throughout our community. But God wants us to enter into the adventure of following him, because by following him, he will use us to demolish strongholds of the enemy. Do you realize just your presence filled with the glory of God can demolish a stronghold in someone else's life? Not because of you, but because you're bringing the glory of God into the darkness of this world, and you can demolish strongholds. Think about the promises of Scripture. Again, this is adventure. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Why does that mean anything unless we're on an adventure? We've been given weapons to demolish strongholds. Our spiritual war, we don't fight the way the world fights, but we've been given weapons to demolish strongholds. We are more than conquerors. Why does the Scriptures talk this way if we're not supposed to be on an adventure? Advancing the kingdom. Here's the last scripture with this, and I just love this. In Matthew, in chapter 16, when Jesus is having this interaction with Paul or with Peter, and he's talking to him, he says, "You are the rock," right? And he says, "And on this rock I will build my church," talking about himself. Jesus, "I am the rock, and on my rock I will build this church." And I love what Jesus says after that. Jesus says, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Man, there's so much significance there that we don't talk about, because that is not a defensive statement. That's an offensive statement. Jesus is like, when the church starts advancing the kingdom like we're supposed to, the gates of hell that we're attacking can't stand up against us. See, we always read that like, oh, when they attack me, I can defend myself. Jesus is like, stop defending yourself. Get on the offense. You are called to advance the kingdom. This is the adventure that we've been given, to go demolish strongholds, and the gates of hell cannot stand against us. Man, doesn't that sound unusual, exciting, and even a little bit hazardous? It's an adventure. Here's the last one, then we're done. We are called to advance the kingdom and be on an adventure by snatching people from the very fires of hell. This is actually scriptural, right out of the Bible in Jude, verse 23. One chapter book, verse 23, it talks about us snatching people from the fires and saving them. We are called to be on the adventure of rescuing people from the very fires of hell. As we break strongholds, God uses us to bring people through the narrow gate and onto the narrow road. We all should know that and understand that, but I want to give you my favorite quote that has to do with this, and it comes from Spurgeon. Some of you might have heard it before, but Spurgeon, just he brings it beautifully together on what this looks like. He says this: "If sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let us not go, let no one go unwarned or unprayed for." Does that not sound like adventure? This is the adventure that we are invited to when we follow Jesus. One other theologian said this: "Some want to live within the sound of a church bell or a chapel bell." He says, "I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell." Man, that completely flies in the face of comfort, safety, and tame. That sounds like people that are on an adventure. As we close, the narrow road is a life of adventure. And I want you to see everything about a Christian. I want you to start looking at it through the lens of being on an adventure. It is an adventure this morning to love. It is an adventure to serve. It's an adventure to forgive people, to give to people, to sacrifice for people. It's an adventure to surrender. It's an adventure to trust and to seek and to believe. It's an adventure to change and become more like Jesus. It's an adventure offered to us to go wherever Jesus is calling us to go, but it's also an adventure to stay wherever he's calling us to stay. It's an adventure to stand up for righteousness, and it's an adventure to us to pursue holiness, to pursue and proclaim truth. Man, listen to this. It is an adventure. We need to start seeing it this way. It's an adventure just to show up. Because we're showing up for Jesus. Every day, we are given the invitation to keep pursuing the adventure on the narrow road. As we close, I implore us, let us choose to follow Jesus and embrace that adventure and live it out. Because it's the adventure to all of us. As we pray, I'm going to ask the praise team come, and we're just going to close with a simple prayer of just offering ourselves to God this morning. But join me as we pray. Gracious God, Lord, I pray that the spirit of adventure will just descend upon your church. Lord, I get it. There's difficulties, there's hardships, there's things that pull us in other directions. But Lord, that's part of the adventure. Lord, the darkest valley is the place where we can know you the best. Lord, the hardships are the things that you use to let us be on the adventure of becoming more like Jesus as you make us focus on our thinking and our feelings and our actions. Lord, those are the moments, some of the hardest moments of life that the adventure is the most powerful. Lord, and you call us to be advancing your kingdom. Oh, what an adventure to take light into darkness, to proclaim truth to the captives, to be used to snatch people from the very fires of hell. Lord, that is what you have empowered us to do. Lord, I pray that nobody leaves here today without realizing that this is possible for every single person that puts their faith and trust in you. Because it's by the power of your Holy Spirit in us and through us that we are able to know you, that we are able to be transformed into your image, and that we are be able to be used by you to advance your kingdom, Lord. It's not based on us, it's based on you. So let us realize that as we worship you today and we just give ourselves to you. Lord, let us surrender to you in your name. Amen.